But yeah, thank you guys. I know some of you are new here, and this is your first time here at Soundhouse. We want to thank you, and thank you for supporting them and for everybody else. We are finishing up our last series, part of our series on Jethro. So if you have not been here, you do not have to feel like, I don't really know what's going on. These kind of go one by one in each message in this journey of Jethro. We can pull something out for each one of us in our own faith and in our participation in the kingdom. But this series in particular, why we picked this series? Because Jethro is one of those very rare examples you don't see very often in Scripture. He makes a massive impact on the nation of Israel. He makes a hugely important contribution at the time when they need it the most in their journey. And it's so significant, it sets up Israel's success for the future. And one of the things about Jethro that's unique is that he sees a need arise, and he goes and he meets the need. He was not called by an angel. He was not given a special word. He didn't see a sign from God for him to jump in. A lot of people are just waiting for that moment of like, well, when God calls me, I'll get that random sign of a sunset, and I'll see a cross in it, and then I'll know I need to go help. Or it might be a call from someone saying, hey, we really need you, we really need you. He didn't need any of that. Jethro came, saw the need, and he met the need. The first week we talked about Jethro was able to recognize potential. So he saw Moses, someone who was on the run, someone who had nothing to offer but saw potential in him because of his character and who he was in moments. And he saw what God had in front of him, and he was willing to sacrifice for God's plan. Anytime you are going to go along with what God has planned to do for his kingdom, you will sacrifice in some way, and Jethro did. Jethro, Jethro was not one who sat idle very long. And I love this about that Jethro just didn't wait. He didn't stand still. He didn't just go, oh, God bless you, that's so good for you. He jumped in. And I use this analogy, and I hope it wasn't too offensive, but I just spoke very strongly to the church last week about a passion of mine, which is people who I think become consumers of church, but not really contributors of church. They see themselves as maybe becoming spiritually full. They might be the people who are going, bring the meal, Pastor, while I'm speaking, but do nothing with the meal, right? They're consuming a lot of spiritual calories and burning none. And so Jethro was a good example of someone who didn't do that. All throughout Scripture, you'll find that anybody who makes an impact in the kingdom is hearing, receiving, and going. It's just part of the Christian life. He was wide open to change. And you might not know this about this guy, but he served as a priest in a land called Midian, and it wasn't a place that just worshipped Yahweh. It worshipped many gods. And he was very open to see the God and go back and begin to minister in his way. And imagine going back to people who are so used to one way, and he's leading them another. He was open to change. And the last thing last week we talked about was he took action. He didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He took action and handled it. Today, the conclusion of Jethro's story in Scripture is going to be about him understanding and has a deep knowledge and I think belief about the impact of working together. Man, and working together is so vital. Israel learned something so powerful about working together as a people. So let's pray. Let's ask God to open our hearts and open our ears to hear and our eyes to see what maybe God is stirring in our hearts. God, we love you. We thank you so much, first of all, for life celebration, life transformation, and a great example for believers. And God, we also thank you for Jethro, that he understood the power of the kingdom and how God organized it and orchestrated it, that we are all invited to play. That God, none of us are meant to be sideliners And the kingdom works best when we work together for your impact. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have any of you ever been stuck in snow before? Raise your hand. I want to empathize with you. So I was raised in Michigan, and when you're stuck in snow, it is a very, it's a fearful moment when it happens, because you're there, your tires are spinning, and you think the more you press the gas, you're going to get out of that rut that you're starting to create, and you start going, and then you're going back and forth and back and forth. Your wife is yelling at you like, honey, and you're like, I know what I'm doing. Like, it's a very stressful moment if you've ever been stuck in snow. But you'll often see, and I think just growing up in Michigan, this was a common thing. When you saw someone stuck in snow, you all empathized with it and said, I remember what that was like. And you get out of your car, and then you'll look, and I will be driving down the road, and I would see 10 people pushing a car back and forth, getting mud spun on them. It's like a whole thing. I don't know if you have ever experienced this, but it's a big deal. But that person alone, as much as they try, they're spinning their tires over and over and over. But it's the invitation of allowing people to come alongside of you that actually will get you out of the snow. Our church journey has been like this. Some of you have been with us for a long time, and you know that Chad and I and our staff do not do everything here. It's kind of sad, because if you called me and said, Ryan, and I'll even back it up even further, I'll get real personal. My son asked me last night, Dad, when is that youth thing? I just got a text, and do you want me to go to that youth thing? They're doing a youth event after service. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he was like, you're supposed to know this stuff. You're in charge. And I was like, I don't know. I know the sermon. I don't know anything else. I only know what people tell me. And if you ever want to know what's going on in the church, I'm just telling you, I am the worst person to ask in the church. We don't do it all. It's the beauty of, I think, our church community. It's lightened the load. It's made the burden easier. And it has ultimately helped the church to flourish. It's by people getting involved and seeing, where's my place? Where's my part? How can I help? This is our church. This is not Ryan's church. I remember early on, my kids would be like, well, Dad, you're the boss at the church. It's your church. And I would always stop them and be like, that's not my church. I have the opportunity to just serve more hours than anybody else there. And they're just like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm in charge of nothing. And it's kind of one of the things I wanted them to understand early on. I am not the boss. I am not the CEO. I have a board of elders. And I just serve my part. And I have a lot of other people serving their part along the way, because this is our church. This is not my church. You know, our church journey all the way, it's amazing what happens when we bring people around something that needs to be done in the church. It's incredible. I don't know if you remember this, but all those trees out in the park, there's like 120 trees out in the park. And I remember when we were going to order them, it was a daunting task to think like, how am I going to dig 120 holes? Like, and plant those trees. But man, the morning of, and everybody's excitement to do it, and how hard it was, and how rewarding it was, and then we got the police call on us. Don't ask. Thankfully, we had a police officer there to handle it. But like, it was one of those things of like, man, what an amazing thing when the church community sees a need and comes around it. I titled this message Together. There's no other way to think about it than together. None of us are meant to be outliers in the church community. None of us are meant to be something that isn't a part of the body. We're all meant to be serving, being a part in some way, for, like we said last week, it greatly increases your spiritual growth. I said this last week, but anytime someone's like, I want to learn more. I want to grow in my faith. I've been in church for a long time, and I want to grow. I'm like, well, do you volunteer? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, then we're done. Volunteer, you'll grow. Oh, you didn't like that? It's true. It's very, very true. My life has been transformed because I decided to volunteer with teenagers. God, I would say this, if I could say one thing about this message, if you could think This is the theme of the message, and I'll revisit it at the end, but seeing God work through the many. That is how the church flourishes. That is how the kingdom expands, is through the many. I think we're always looking for like the hero to lead it all, but it's through the many. It will never be from the sacrifice of a few people. It will be for a sacrifice of everyone together working in tandem to accomplish it. I wrote this down. If you struggle with asking for help, so there's going to be two parts that I think I'm hoping God will convict us on. If you're struggling to ask for help, maybe today's message will encourage you, because a lot of us like to go alone. And if you struggle seeing that you have anything to offer, maybe today will help you. And maybe God will speak to your heart and maybe free you from some of that bondage, I think, of being isolated or thinking that you are alone, which you're not, especially if you're a part of a church body and or that you have nothing to offer to the body. These are lies that we tell ourselves. These are lies that somehow we believe, and maybe they translate beyond church. But there's two understandings that Jethro helps Moses see. And I love it because we see a character flaw in Moses. It's so good. I like seeing, when I see problems in biblical characters who everybody thinks is so awesome, I'm like, oh, you have problems just like me. Moses has a problem. And he has to see two very big things he's not quite seeing yet. One of them, Jethro helps him understand, is that Moses, you're not alone. And I get it. This is a guy leading a group of people who've come out of slavery and trying to establish a nation. But he's doing it alone. If you read Exodus, you're seeing Moses is really carrying the entire burden and load. So much so, when things aren't going right, they aren't looking to kill each other. They're looking to kill Moses, okay? So, like, he is the one carrying the load. But you're not alone. If you're a part of a church body, you're not alone. If you feel that way, then I hope you hear what Jethro tells Moses and the impact that it has on Moses and that wisdom. We have a thing in our culture. It's kind of weird. It's like this lone wolf syndrome. First time I ever thought one person versus the world was when I saw Rambo. You know what I mean? If you don't know who Rambo is, sorry. don't even watch it. You'll be bored in 10 seconds. But it was always like one man versus an army. And it's like, no, it's never one man versus an army. It's never one person. But we think we just want to go out alone. I'm my own person. I can do it all by myself. And no one has ever done anything great or anything, I would say, maybe period, all by themselves. And I think we get caught up in this idea is that I have to do this by myself. You don't. You do not have to go alone. By the way, if you know anything about wolves, the lone wolf always dies. The lone wolf needs a pack, and the lone wolf will die if he does not have his pack. And I think that mentality creeps into maybe us because of our culture, maybe because of the way we were raised, but you need community with you in order to thrive. I think asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It does not make you weak to say you don't know. It does not hurt you. Even if you have some understanding in what maybe scripture, or you're just like, I've been reading the Bible, I'm a Christian for a while, but even just to ask, like, who wrote the Bible? That's okay to ask. It's okay to not be everything you think people need you to be. Asking is not a sign of weakness. Actually, on the contrary, it's a sign of courage. It's a very courageous thing to ask someone else to help. And I know there's a lot of reasons. I looked up the top reasons, and I wrote a few of my own of why people go it alone. One, and maybe you'll identify with this, and maybe before we get into what Jethro advises Moses about, maybe you can see a little bit what Moses is struggling with. Maybe you'll identify with this list about why you tend to go it alone, when everything Christ taught was not to go it alone. One is fear of appearing weak. No one does not want to appear that what is on the Instagram is not what they're really living like. Everyone wants to maybe curate that everything is fine. But it's maybe why you don't invite people to your house, but you really post a bunch of pictures. Or why you go to other, it's like you don't want them to peer in and look. Or why you don't open up and be vulnerable about things you might be struggling with. But the only way that you can really overcome true struggle with the help of God is that also your community around you of vulnerability and honesty. Listen, you can't hear a story from someone coming through AA, a Celebrate Recovery, who it was the community and the vulnerability and honesty that helped them get through that time. We worry about being judged or seen as incompetent. Pride. They want to solve problems independently and prove their self-worth. I think this is one I will struggle with a little bit, where it's like, no, I want to show I'm capable of doing this. But then the whole time, while I'm doing this project or this thing or by myself, I'm like having like little man whimpers. Do you know what that is? Where I'm like, oh, God, why? And it's like, but God's like, I have a lot of people around who can help you, and but it's your pride, Ryan. Not wanting to be a burden, because maybe you felt like a burden to someone else in your upbringing, and they made you feel that way maybe, and maybe you took that identity on, but avoiding imposing on other people when you wouldn't believe, but people are just waiting for you to ask. Fear of rejection. They assume, no matter what, I've been told no before, I'll be told no again. Nobody cares. Have you ever been in a pity party before? I got in one, and it was real. And my wife, Anna, had to talk me out of it. And I was like, nobody cares, Anna. I like went hard. And I was like in a dark place. And I was like, nobody cares. Nobody asks how I am. I'm always, can I be this honest? Nobody asks how I am. I always ask how they are. And it's like, why? They just expect that I just am supposed to ask? And she's like, they're there. It's not as bad as you think. It's okay. And I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm being a little victim here. I'm pity partying. And it closes me off and it makes me feel like, oh, I'm assuming people don't care. But they do care. Not knowing how to ask. They lack the skills to clearly communicate that. Past negative experiences. And I'll hear it all the time from people come to the church. Like, oh, my church, it was horrible. They abused us in a way of volunteering. And they come in here and they're like, I'm not volunteering. And I'm like, well, you're not at that church. So let's begin to move past it. Fierce independence. And I think independence is very, very good. We know this. We teach our kids about it. But then there's this fierce independence that closes us off from help and then ultimately a loss of control. And so we all can struggle in different ways. But ultimately, at the end of the day, is you weren't meant to be alone as a body. You're meant to be in community as a body. You're not meant to come into this room and suffer alone. And if you're suffering alone in silence, maybe you don't have a full revelation of what it means to be part of a church body. Of that they're here to help, care for, confess to one another, heal one another. It's a struggle for many, this list, but it was also probably for Moses. Let's read it, Exodus 18:13. The next day, Moses sat at to judge the people. Now, Jethro, remember, he had come to see his son-in-law, see everything God's doing. He's blown away. And they're all just telling all the great stories of what God has done. And now Jethro has to go see Moses go to work. And none of us would want our father-in-law coming alongside of us, watching our work and inspecting it. So I empathize. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law... Now listen to what he does. He saw all that was he was doing for the people, and he said, and these are good questions, what is this that you are doing for the people? And then why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, and here's his reason, because the people came to me to inquire of God, and when they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Now, This is the equivalence, based on our population in Long Beach, that the mayor of Long Beach sat in one spot and said, all day, all night, bring me your problems. Right? You can't even find the mayor. But imagine, he's sitting there, and one after another. Imagine the scene, the horror of Moses' father-in-law when he sees, like, this is unsustainable. This is no good. Why are you doing this alone? And Moses is going, well, I need to judge. I also need, here's what he's saying. I need to be two judicial branches. And maybe at the end of the day, the executive as well, but God's the executive branch. But I'm going to handle these two branches alone. I'm going to be legislative, and I'm going to be judicial. And his father-in-law doesn't know what to do. Moses, this is not going to work for you. Moses' father-in-law said to him, what are you doing? What you are doing is not good. Now imagine, this is hard when you're seeking someone's maybe advice or has a voice in your life when they watch how you operate and then they begin to tell you and the first thing they see and you're so proud of what you're doing, they're like, oh, what you're doing's actually not good. And you and the people will, you will certainly wear yourselves out for the things is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. That was probably a massive revelation to Moses and very comforting. You're not alone. You can't do it alone. You can't do this alone. I think some of us in here need to heed Jethro's advice for our own lives. You know, I have these great elders, Guy, Larry, I think Dan, you're in here too, John. I just am blown away by what that brings to me as someone who has to, like, do certain things within this church or lead certain things. I feel so much more free because I have these people in my life speaking around, seeing things, seeing from a bigger perspective, a bigger picture. And I understand what it means to not go alone. When I will try to put the burden all on myself, these leaders around me will say, you're not alone, and stop doing that. You may be stuck with the list above I listed earlier of those eight things. But you remember this, just if you get in that place, and you feel like you can't break out of feeling like alone because of you have all of those reasons that we listed earlier, that your history is not your destiny. Your history doesn't determine your destiny. And if you can let go of that and move forward in faith and be open in a community, your destiny will be very different. But if you're bound to those things, you will stay there and it may be your destiny. Moses' history definitely was I would say this, going it alone. Think about his call. God called one man to deal with the greatest empire that Egypt in its storied history has ever known. And with a stick and some words that he had a hard time saying, he delivered this nation. And so he's one man. But he is operating in a way that is not good, but he doesn't realize this until Jethro comes, and this is what God think does, is send Jethro, and we need Jethros in our life, to tell him, no, this is no good. You are no longer alone, Moses. You cannot operate this way anymore. Moses, I would say this, definitely from this moment on, doesn't let his history and how he operated determine the future and destiny of Israel at all. I have two questions in this part. Do you struggle with asking for help and guidance? Do you? You have to ask yourself that. Do I really struggle? Do I kind of back away when I should lean in? Do I not let people know around me some of the things I'm going through so I can work through them, get through them and out of them? Or do I suffer in silence? How much am I hiding in the darkness? And if anybody knows, they're going to judge me so harshly. Right? How much of that is going on? And maybe not realizing what the beauty of a body is, the body of Christ. Does this very mentality hinder you from making yourself available to others? I think that happens. That when someone says, I just am a lone wolf, I got to go by myself, I'm afraid to be vulnerable in front of others, does that hinder you also from going and being a service and a help to others? Do we just go, we all just separate and we don't have connection with each other. Listen, you are not alone. The second thing that Jethro, I think, helps Moses see is kingdom work is inclusive. It's inclusive, all inclusive. Going and being a part of a body will never be just attending church. You must know this. It is not just going, checking a box, and going home. It is being involved in the work of the kingdom. It's all the way back from Genesis. When God created Adam and Eve in paradise, he gave them kingdom work. He involved them into what he was unfolding for the world. In every single story we hear, it's about kingdom work, being involved. Because I've thought this a few times in my life. Why doesn't God just come and snap his fingers and just make everything good? Have you ever thought this thought? Like, God, why in this problem of mine, why can't you just snap your fingers and make it good? Am I not a good Christian? But you never know. Because God could have released the slaves in Egypt easily. But he answered their prayer by sending a man, one man. And he answered probably what was Moses' prayer of, oh God, how can I do this? By sending Jethro. We need people in our lives. You cannot do it alone, and we should not do it alone, but it's all inclusive. It's involving the many. There are many reasons people don't jump in and get involved. You ready? I'm going to list them. You may not feel like you're needed or welcome. Now, I know that I've had people come up to me and say, hey, I feel called to preach, so when am I going to start speaking in Soundhouse? And I'm like, no, you are not called here. But God bless. Like, and not that it's that, but it's like, sorry, that's that. You can't just be like, well, I guess I wasn't needed. No, there's a whole pathway process that's important, but it's there. Life is too busy. I just got so many things. I'm juggling so many things. So to jump in and get involved, I just don't have time. Let other people do it. Don't feel qualified or good enough. Some of us come from places of such shame. We feel like, how could God ever use me? And you're like, I don't know, have you read the Bible? Everybody's coming from such shame, and God is using them. Some of us, we have past negative experiences. That's why we do. We don't get involved. Some of us think it's meant for others and not myself. Or I think worse yet is the consumer mentality versus the contributor mentality in church. Moses unknowingly wasn't aware he was doing this, but by him being the single voice that told the people what to do and not empowering them to be a part of that nation, he was contributing to the ongoing mentality of slavery to them. And I think that was hugely important for Jethro to come and take care of. It's like, oh, well, we just go to Moses. He tells us what to do, just like our taskmasters did. We didn't have positions. We didn't have authority. We didn't think for ourselves. Moses does the thinking. And it was very unhelpful for Israel. And Jethro helped him break that and empower them to truly participate in kingdom work. It's why you can never think of me as handling all things in the church. Oh, there's a problem? Go to Ryan. Well, no. Don't put me in the position of Moses at that time. Like, we are a part of the kingdom for kingdom work. Exodus 18, 19. Now, obey my voice. This is Jethro. I will give you advice, and God will be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them known the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men of all people, men who fear God and are trustworthy and hate bribes, and place them over the people as chiefs of thousands and of hundreds and of fifties and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Now here we go. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide. Here's the outcome. When we begin to not be alone, when we begin to share in what God is doing, he says this, so it will be easier for you and they will bear the burden with you. Some of us need to hear this. When you bring your burden to someone else, you cannot bear it alone. They will share the burden with you. And if you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure. You know, Christianity is an endurance game. It's just continue to endure. I've heard so many of your guys' stories where I'm like, you just have endured for years, decades. Endurance. I respect it because you're able to endure, but I know you didn't do it alone. And all these people will also go to their place in peace, and that's the ultimate byproduct, is entering into peace. This issue, really quick, arises in Acts chapter 6. And what happens is the disciples, they're busy, they're preaching, the church is starting to explode, and they're going all over the place, and they're neglecting the people. And people are starting to complain. People are going hungry and they're uncared for. And the disciples are getting stressed out because people are just like, what about us? And they're like, well, we got to go preach the gospel. And they stop preaching and they start taking care of needs. And they're like, no, this is not what we're supposed to do. So they appointed people, just like what Jethro advised Moses, to appoint people to care for these things so they could continue to go out and preach. And the church explodes at a whole nother level. Listen to Acts 7 after this happens. The word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. The disciples were out there doing what their part of the body was, while many other people were empowered to do their part of the body. Let's read the conclusion of Exodus 24. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law. It's a short sentence, but it's profound. This is the game changer. Moses could have decided to be all prideful. Moses could have decided to go it alone. Moses could have decided that this is the way it must be. I know better than you, Jethro. I brought these people out, but he didn't. He listened to him, and he did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of Israel, and it repeats again of what they did to judge. But then verse 27, then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went home to his own country. That's the end of Jethro. One contribution that changed the direction of Israel. One. He helped Moses see what Moses couldn't see. And some of us in here, we need that Jethro type of word in our life where it's like, you need to see some things you can't see, but you can't do that alone. You have to have people in your life to speak into your life, and that involves inviting them in. Listen, I'll close with this. Christianity is a community. It's a body. It is a participation faith. It's something that's required of us is to jump in, get involved, be a part of God's work and kingdom. And so if you want to know how to participate in that way, the very easiest way is, I think what you said, Eric, is about you read, what was it, Mark? Mark, right? And you're starting to see this is the rhythm and this is the pattern of Jesus. This is what he's acting like. This is how he looks at need, and this is how he addresses need. This is how he spoke about the kingdom. This is how he lived his life. That's how you begin to look. How do I participate in the kingdom? If it's just small, we can help you here at the church, point and direct you. But Jesus raised up his discipleships for a reason, his disciples for a reason, and Jesus left for a reason. It's like our kids. I'm watching one of my kids do something right now that it was very much against what I advise. And I'm letting them handle it. And when they come back and they complain all about it, I'm like, keeping my mouth shut. Because I'm like, sounds familiar, And it's like, but I don't know, what do you think? And it's like, and then they think, I'm going to do this. And then they come back and it's like, it's painful. It is agonizing, actually. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, let's talk through that a little bit. Jesus left for a reason. He wasn't going to do everything. He invited us to be a part of it, just like in Genesis, to do the work of the kingdom. Churches are called a body for a reason, and you're a part of the body. It's very clear in Scripture. And the body doesn't function well without the pinky. And if the pinky is hurt, the whole body is hurt. All of its attention goes there. Each part is valuable in its work. Two questions, and we'll pray. Are you participating in the body? I hope you walk out and really think about that question Am I participating in the body? And if the answer is no, you're missing out on the greatest spiritual growth of your life. You're missing out on what God might have for you on the other side of that, or people's lives on the other side of that, or you being ministered to on the other side of that, or a community that is waiting to embrace you, and you're missing out on it. And do you see, really, truly believe that the kingdom is inclusive? If it's inclusive, then you own that part and say, I'm a part of it too. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. I thank you, God, for this message of Jethro. But God, I thank you that you are doing work in many people's hearts and lives in here right now. There are many of us who have been trying to go it alone, God. And I pray that you just give them the courage and the strength to be vulnerable and ask for help if they're struggling. Or vulnerable enough to say, you know what? I don't know what that is, but I'm going to help. God, that you bring them into a deep, true community that grows and makes them thrive in life, that they realize that they're a vital part of the body because they understand that they've been invited into the work. The Bible says that we should pray for laborers, God, and that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God, I pray that Soundhouse is full of laborers, that the harvest is so plentiful, God, there's so much work to be done and to reap. But God, I pray that each person here sees themselves as a laborer, a vital part of the kingdom, who can come into people's lives, share burdens, and also invite others to share burdens, but do your work, be your hands and feet. Jesus, we love you and we thank you, God, for the opportunity to participate in what you're doing. It is a group effort. So God, whatever comes out of this series of Jethro, I pray that your hand be in it, that these seeds grow and that they flourish and that you water them, God, and bring growth. We love you and we thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. And we thank you for the opportunities waiting on the other side of our faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this last song? Touch over.